Hello and welcome to the podcast. It's the best part of my day. This is episode one, The Dark End of the Street from 1981. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And I'm glad... Oh man, we are off to such a rocky start here for so many reasons. I was going to say I'm glad that we didn't have a guest for this. Like we sort of have a history now of doing the first episode alone, solo bolo, as it were.
Solo bolo.
I'm glad that we didn't have a guest for this because Affleck is barely in this movie.
Yeah, I would feel really guilty subjecting them to something like this. I don't know what's coming up down the line, but man, what was this? This was unexpected. I mean, you know, right off the bat, like, we've had, like, interesting stuff, like, going great with Keanu, best of times with Cage. Yep. So, you never know, right? You always want to do that first thing, just in case it's something magical. But in this case, whoa, what a dud.
This is from 1981, like I said, this is the same year that Cage released Best of Times. What's different about this is that Ben Affleck in this movie is 7 or 8, as opposed to Cage being 17 or 16 or whatever he was. Ben Affleck was born in 1974. No, 73? I wrote it down. 1972. Oh, no, so he was 8 or 9. He was 8 or 9 when this came out.
You watched the
entire movie, and you didn't even know who he was, and I had to Google... Because he's a little blonde kid that looks nothing like him.
Yeah. Like, I wish I knew to look for a toddler or a kid. I was looking at, like, the kids on the baseball team because I didn't know. I had no idea. I had no clue what to expect.
Yeah, basically, after you told me that you didn't see him, I was like, maybe I should Google and find out how old he is in this. And I was like, oh, he's a baby. And so I had to, like, look for, like, little kids because... The main character is this girl named Donna, and Donna's younger. Like, she mentions at the baseball game, like, oh, I got to babysit Tommy or something like that. Mm-hmm, and I was like, okay, we know Tommy is Ben Affleck, but he doesn't have any lines in this movie. They never say his name to him. It's just like, oh, wake Tommy up for you know, he's going to be late for school or late for breakfast or whatever.
Yeah, all this stuff happens to Tommy off screen. Like, he gets rushed late at night to urgent care. Right? Like, at the end of the movie, it's like, where's Tommy? Oh, your sister had to take him to the doctor. Then there's another moment where it's like, Tommy stuffed a fish down the toilet or something. And it's like, well, I wanted to see that. We didn't get even, like, all of Affleck's stuff is regulated off screen. Maybe child labor laws didn't permit him to film those days.
Well, this was filmed in Boston and Cambridge, so we know how he was there. We know why he was on set. I don't know anything else about this. Like, it's, Oh, there's one other little bit of trivia that I found out is that Stephen King saw this movie and loved Laura Harrington so much that he cast her in Maximum Overdrive because of this movie.
That's amazing. That's another reason to go rewatch that, I suppose. I mean, the only face I recognized was Lance Hendrickson, which was a shocker. That was a shock. I was shocked he was in this, but he's the big star of this.
So what's crazy is that a little bit of a change here for the podcast, as opposed to Cage and Keanu, is that we're going to try to play some games. We don't know what exactly we're going to do aside from one game for sure that we'll unveil a little bit later, but I have such fun doing games with Joe too over on Zack Attack that we're going to continue with these this month's three new podcasts of Too Fast, Too Forever, Magic Mikes, and Boyfriend Material, that we want to do stuff like that here. One of the games we play over there is the Letterboxd game, where Joe tries to guess how many people saw the movie that we talked about. He tries to guess if it's in anybody's top four. There's like a couple different games we play. Did you look at how many people had seen this on Letterboxd?
Now, I have, because, you know me, I've been logging stuff on Letterboxd like a maniac recently, and so I just, you know, I had to peek, and I couldn't believe the number. It blew my mind. It might be the lowest... the least seen film on Letterboxd, and I think ours are the only two reviews.
It's the only two reviews. We brought the total number of people who viewed it from 7 to 9. What I can tell you, though, is that Lance Henriksen has been in 141 movies, and sorting by film popularity, which I think is pretty much number of people seen, although it's not quite, because I clicked a few below this and it wasn't exactly true. 21 movies of his 141 are ranked below this. So, in terms of popularity, he's been in a lot of things that really no one has seen. Like, no one has seen this, but really no one has seen these other 20 movies.
He's good in this. I was like, wow, a movie star in this. Not just kind of like local theater kids or whatever these kids, wherever they're from. Just street kids, maybe? Some of them? I don't know.
I guess. it's hard to tell who anybody, like, it's nobody has anything to do in this movie. Like, I don't, what, so the plot is, so the plot is kind of, a white couple sees a black kid fall off a roof and fall to his death. Like, he breaks his neck, goes to the hospital, and dies in the hospital.
Well, they're friends, right? Like, they're on opposing baseball teams, but they all seem to be, like, getting along.
Then the rest, that happens, like, half an hour or so in. Yeah. Then the rest of the movie is a detective trying to find out what happened, kind of, but also, like, kind of existential coming of age, kind of. Like, I don't know what any of this is. I don't know how to describe what I saw. I know that I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. It's slow. It's kind of poorly made. It just reeks of, like, movie of the week, you know, 1981 movie of the week kind of stuff. Like, it had that heavy message kind of vibe that this is something, you know, the whole family might want to watch together so that, like, little kids learn about, like, racism, because that is basically what this movie is about. It's like, there's lots of, oh man, there's lots of just, like, yeah, like, they want to see a white kid go down for killing a black kid, and they want to see a black kid go down for killing a black kid. Like, it's nuts. Like, it is so heavy-handed at times, I couldn't believe it.
What's sort of fascinating to me, at least in terms of the scope of Affleck's career, is that, you know, what almost killed me during Keanu Club was that, like, 10-movie stretch where he was in high school. Like, it feels like we're just starting his career with that. Like, we also have coming up in just a few episodes, like, A Body to Die For. Like, I feel like we have, just based on titles alone, a few other TV movies of the week, message movies, that I guess it's good that we're getting out of the way early, but, like, we didn't even get Stereo Teen number one in Letting Go. Not that that movie was good, but that he was fun in that movie. Or, you know, what was the hockey movie with Rob Lowe? What's that movie?
Oh, man.
Youngblood. Like, we didn't even get a Youngblood. Like, I know he's really young, so I can't expect him to be, like, the lead of a movie yet, but, like, there was nothing, like, fun to tease us early to sort of, like, whet our appetites. We're just jumping into a movie that he's, A, barely in, and B, is almost, is insufferable otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's the other thing. Are these kids in high school? I didn't know. I thought they were, like, college kids, maybe, or even
idea.
Out of high school and not in college.
Well, they're buying liquor, right? Aren't they
buying liquor? Yeah, they're buying liquor, but, yeah, they are buying liquor. So, some of them must be 21, and they live, like, in the projects, so I don't know I mean, regarding Affleck's early career, I feel like we're gonna get those sort of early on type of walk-on roles before he's, like, full-on famous. Like, he's gonna have his version of Youngbloods, but it's gonna be like Mallrats, you know? Like, he'll have, like, school ties and things. We'll see teenage Affleck doing teenage stuff in movies and things. It's just unfortunate that, like, if he was a child actor like this, it would have been great to see him in like a movie where, like, the kids were the stars, you know? That would have been fun if it was, like, more something like that.
Or even if he's not the star, that he's just, like, dealing with his older sister losing her mind over the stress of the death of her friend or something. Like, he's not sure what's going on, he knows that something's wrong or whatever, but, like, we see him asleep in one scene. Do we see him again?
I didn't even see him, so you gotta tell me. I blinked and I missed him.
I mean, this is definitely not worth watching. If you want to see it, it's on YouTube. It's just, it's tough.
Yeah, like, I'd say what it comes close to that's actually good is something like River's Edge. Like, there's something where kids are dealing with sort of, like, this death in the group or they're in the clique, but that has, like, Dennis Hopper in it and Keanu's in it and he's older and stuff. So, like, imagine if Affleck was the little sister in River's Edge. That's kind of what we're talking about here.
What's also kind of unusual, at least compared to the last few guys that we did, is that the next thing Affleck's going to be in is this TV, or at least the next thing that we're doing, because we sort of weeded out a little bit, but I don't think we weeded out too much. We want to keep some early stuff. The next thing that we're doing is from 1984, so we're going to jump 3 years ahead. He'll be, you know, 11 or 12 years old. He's in a TV show, The Voyage of the Mimi. So it's not like Cage, who never missed a year. It's, we're jumping sort of significantly ahead. Like, we're going from 9-year-old to 12-year-old. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's a big jump. I know that I think he's sort of more prevalently featured in that. I mean, we'll find out, I guess. But after Mike watched this movie, I was like, I wonder if I should even watch this. But it's kind of a decent jumping off point, if only to talk about sort of the podcast as a whole, because there's literally nothing to talk about here.
Yeah, I think what's interesting compared to the other two guys we've done is that Affleck started way younger, like 10 years younger than those guys, and it's like on screen, and Voyage of the Mimi, if I remember from 6th grade science class, our teacher showed us, it's an actual TV series of some kind. So like, he's a working kid actor, so that's pretty cool to see. That's going to be fun to chart, like, that's something new.
One thing that was interesting, I guess, about this movie is that before the closing credits, it was dedicated to someone who died at 21 years old. So this was written and directed by a guy who is basically known for all TV movies I don't know. His most popular movie on Letterboxd is some movie with Michael Caine in it.
Oh, Michael Caine. I won't bury another Batman.
Oh, I gotta keep my tally of bad accents. I'm surprised that you did a bad Michael Caine here before you did a bad Boston accent. But
wow,
tally two now for the total run of this podcast so far. You did one on the intro and one here, so I'm gonna keep that tally mark. Not that that's bad, but I'm just like, whenever you go for something bold, I'm gonna keep a tally.
Ben Affleck was only 16 years old.
It was some movie called A Shock to the System that 500 people logged on Letterboxd.
I've heard just of that.
For comparison's sake, we do that. We always reference this on Zack Attack. Mad Max has been seen by 155,000. It's not like there's millions of people on Letterboxd, but the fact that 7 or 9 or 500 people have seen the movie is still very low. So like, this guy is a no-name writer, a no-name director, but I guess probably had a friend die and wrote a movie about it, which is sad.
Yeah, maybe he's from this part of Boston too, which is why it's like kind of about like the more poor section, right? Like, these kids are in the projects and in, like, you know, sort of broken homes and all that, so he's trying to tell that side of the story. So yeah, I mean, it kind of, I guess it could be sort of autobiographical to a degree. I don't know why anyone else would want to make this movie, so I guess he got it in his mind that it's a story he needed to tell. It has, the only thing about it is, like, now this guy can say Ben Affleck was in his movie.
Sure,
and
yeah.
That's why we watched it. We got kind of tricked into it.
I don't, like, so IMDb does not list this as a TV movie, but, like, it's hard to imagine this not being a TV movie, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It just doesn't have the polish of something you'd see in the theater. Like, especially when the detective, like, comes on the scene, it feels like a completely different movie, like maybe like an act break, like after a commercial or something.
Yep.
So I was getting that kind of vibe a lot throughout it. I mean, it's only what, it's like 85 minutes or something.
Yep.
So I mean, I could see it being played
over like a 2-hour block. Yeah,
right, something like that maybe.
I think the only other note that I have about this movie, well, there's two other things I liked. So number one, there's one guy who works at like a bottling plant or something. What I really liked about this is that he's got some, like, it's almost like a pitchfork, but like it sort of spears like 12 bottles at once that he puts in a box. I'm like, that's kind of a cool thing. Like, I was so mentally checked out of what was going on, I was just like looking for literally anything. So I liked that. And number two, when they're at the liquor store, the price is $4.20, and they pause on it, but it's not a weed joke. It's just, I don't have money.
Yeah, it's like, can you believe how expensive, like, all this beer is? It's $4.20, and we're sitting here going, like, holy shit, I can't believe they got all that beer for nothing.
But yeah, I have no other notes about this movie. Do not watch this. I do think it's funny that Mike and I, on Letterboxd, are going to rank the Affleck movies week by week, which we're also doing for Cinemakers. But right now, you know, I gave this movie 0.5 star, Mike gave it 1 star, but it's funny that right now, as far as the world is concerned, this is our favorite Ben Affleck movie, so I think that's pretty funny.
That's amazing. I love that feeling right now, at least for a week.
I genuinely can't imagine another movie being lower on the list than this, between the comparison of how little he's in it and also just how bad the rest of it is. Like, I feel like there's literally nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I feel that, like, not just for this, but in general, like, I'm going to be turning, like, I'm in this whole phase where I'm turning off bad movies. I've turned off a couple, like, this year already, but now that I've sat through this, like, it's lowered the bar so much, I'm afraid that, like, I'm going to put on a bad movie and not realize how bad it is because of how bad this one is.
That's what I was thinking. Like, we talk a lot about on Cinemakers about trying not to watch bad movies, but most of the bad movies I watch now are for podcasts. Like, it's, and like, you, I can't not re- like, I sort of didn't pay full attention to a lot of this just because I'm like, I can't. Like, I just mentally cannot. But, like, I had to pay enough attention to take notes on it and be able to have a discussion about it. We do this to ourselves.
Yeah, you're right. It's true. Well, at least that list is getting smaller, I guess. We're watching better movies as it goes along. I mean, for me, the one thing that really kept me going here was waiting for Lance Hendrickson to keep showing up.
Yeah.
Basically, I knew he was going to come back at least one more time, and he had kind of a nice moment with the girl at the end when she's trying to run away. But again, he's just like so far. Like, the type of performance he's turning in is just doesn't deserve this movie, you know? Like, this movie doesn't deserve Lance Hendrickson's performance.
No, not at all. Not at all. Do you have any other notes about The Dark End of the Street? I forgot the name of it for a second. The Dark End of the Street, or should we go on to our game?
No, we can go. We can move on.
So a game we're going to play, which is going to require us to pay more attention to the movie than, like, I forgot halfway through. I'm like, oh, I need to actually be paying attention to this to do this game. We are going to try to recast everything we see if it's set in modern day. Like, if they rebooted this, who would play sort of the main roles? So for this game, we picked out 6 characters to recast. Donna, the main character, her boyfriend, Billy, I think is his name, right? I think Billy, her boyfriend.
And there's a Billy and a Bobby, too, so that wasn't helpful.
No, they're all like Billy, Bobby, Tommy. It's all just, you know, very white-bread names. We need a new dead black kid who falls off the roof. Mm-hmm. We need a new Lance Henriksen, who's the truck driver in this movie. We need a new Lil Affleck, who I could not think of somebody for. So if you have somebody, we can just cast him in this.
Okay.
And then we need a new detective. And the detective has to be black because he's investigating it for a racial angle.
Gotcha.
So, Mike, do you want to, why don't you start? Pick anyone you want to start with. We can go from there. Did you have one for Lil Affleck?
I actually do have one for Lil Affleck. It took a while, and I don't know if it reaches the age requirements. But the kid who plays Georgie in It, Jackson Robert Scott.
He's the one
in all the commercials, like, you'll float too, so maybe that little kid could pull it off.
Okay, I didn't think, okay, so actually here, before we go any further, why don't you, if you're listening, and you want to recast, I mean, not that you would, oh god, so if you've seen a movie and you want to recast it, you can email us. The email address can be Ben, @cageclub.me, and we'll read it on the next episode or whenever you write in. If you listen to this and watch this and write in, like, you know, in 2 months from now, whenever we get the email, we'll read it. Or alternatively, if you just don't want to watch the movie, P.S. don't watch this movie, and you just have an opinion on whose casting you would like more, who you think. I realize as we play this game, I'm probably going to go back to the same well of casting my favorite people in a lot of things.
Possible.
But I'm going to try to mix it up. So if you're listening and you want to recast a movie, if you want to just give your 2 cents on who we cast, whatever.
Yeah.
Any thoughts about the podcast? Any thoughts about Ben Affleck? Any thoughts about anything? Ben@cageclub.me. Email us. We'll go from there.
On with the game.
Now that you said Georgie, I'm going to go with Georgie's older brother, a.k.a. Henry from the Book of Henry. Like, that could work.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll take that. That movie's demented.
Yeah, sure. Why not? So he's also
see that movie instead of this.
What's another... Who's the next one you want to do?
Why don't we do the detective?
Okay. Who'd you have for the detective?
So I had Bunk himself, Wendell Pierce.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
I think he could nail that role.
Oh, I definitely... I went with Sterling K. Brown.
Okay.
You know him? He played Christopher Darden on the OJ series.
Okay.
He is also on This Is Us. He's the best part of This Is Us on NBC. Because you sort of need like a guy who's kind of young-ish, but also kind of middle-aged. Someone who can be your friend, right? Mm-hmm. But also pressure you. And I feel like Bunk and Darden could both do that.
Nice. This is going well.
I like it. I like it already. So the dead black kid, what's his name? I don't remember.
I can't remember. I think I
just finished watching this movie to come record this, and I don't remember.
I think that was Bobby. I think Bobby died, and they think Billy killed Bobby.
Okay.
Not positive. Okay, so I'm not sure how to pronounce this exactly, but Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out.
Oh, you know, interestingly, or maybe not because it's what Get Out is about, I picked Lakeith Stanfield, who's been in a bunch of stuff, but is from that movie. He's the guy who gets kidnapped at the very start of the movie.
Oh.
Who's the farmer, the Uncle Tom kind of guy in that movie. Because he's also in Atlanta. He's in a bunch of stuff. He's the best part of everything he's in. He was in Death Note, which I think, I don't know, did you see Death Note yet for October?
No, not for October yet. Nope.
So interesting that we did. I feel like there's going to be a lot of little Ben actions, sort of. I mean, it's not really related to Ben at all, but yeah, I think that would work. I mean, he's got such a small part in this movie.
Right.
Who did I want to put in that role? I wanted to put somebody bigger, and I was like, well, like, it can't be somebody massive, because, like, he's on screen for 15 minutes and he dies. Like, it just, you know.
Yeah, it's tough, too, because, you know, what age are they, also? So I have, like, a 10-15-year age gap where I just feel like these actors can pull those roles off, so.
Yep. How about for Billy, the boyfriend?
Baby Driver himself, Ansel Elgort.
Okay, this is weird. I picked Adam Driver, so not Baby Driver, but Adam Driver.
Awesome.
I like that. I had originally Dave Franco, Lil Franco.
Oh, and that would have been good, yeah.
That confrontation at the end when they're at his car, and he's just, like, really animated and, like, losing his mind. I was like, oh, this is Adam Driver. Like, this is him. You know what I mean? Like, it's a small enough part that they could reboot this, remake this, and he could still shoot Star Wars while doing this movie. So I thought it out, like, in terms of that frame.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you get Ansel Elgort in there, he could do more in the car than just speed away angrily. You could have, like, maybe a chase scene or something like that.
I like that a lot. Donna, the main character Donna.
Okay.
I have two for this one.
Okay, I have one. One came to mind, like, right away when I was thinking of this.
Actually, hold on. Time out for a second.
Okay.
This might be tricky, because maybe we could start this with episode two. Do you want to play it so that we can't cast the same actors for, I was going to say, like, for the rest of the series, but, like, there has to be, like, a little bit of a, I don't know how we would do that, but, like, I don't want to be able to pick whoever for, like, young Ben Affleck in every movie. You know what I mean?
Like, right, you don't want to become, like, Scorsese with his, like, chosen actors and then, like, just going to stick to De Niro.
Maybe we don't have to set hard and fast rules. We could just try not to pick the same people over and over again. Okay, but go ahead.
All right.
The person who came to your mind.
All right, drum roll. Sasha Lane, American Honey herself.
Oh, I like that a lot. I like that more than either of mine.
Oh.
Originally, who I recast, I'm sorry if she got the axe from it, was, we just talked about her last night a little bit while recording Cinemakers, was Margaret Qualley from The Leftovers, from Novitiate, upcoming this year, from The Nice Guys. I thought she could kind of do it, but then I was like, you know who I really sort of think would do, like, that disaffected, sort of, like, angsty thing? Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. She could totally lead this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I like that.
And then the last one, the reason I say this for last, Lance Henriksen, I would recast,
obviously.
As Nicolas Cage.
Oh, really? I was going to say, I was going to say Ben Affleck.
I like that too.
To get Affleck, like, back as the truck driver, like, maybe even playing, maybe change his name to Tommy, like, be the kid.
I like that a lot. I think it's really funny. I think it's going to happen a lot, because we're so on the same wavelength for a lot of the podcasts that we do, is that for six recastings, we had three kind of connections. You know what I mean? Like, podcast we did about Adam Driver, Baby Driver,
similar
and
movie.
Then Get Out. Yeah, so, whew.
Wow.
I like it.
That's fun.
I like that game. So we're probably going to add more games as we think of them. If you have ideas for new games,
email
us, ben@cageclub.me.
When did we start recasting? During Cage Club Revisited? I think we started watching that, trying to think of games, and we came up with the recast game, but I don't think then we came up with Bingo for that, so we just kept that with Bingo, and now we're doing the recast here.
Exactly. So, yeah, so I like the recast game. I think it's fun. I think it's one thing that we need to remember to tell guests when they come on before they watch the thing, be like, hey, we play a game, and if there's any other games, whatever, but it's cool, because there's no wrong answers. It's just a matter of who you think, and just, you know, defend your picks. So email ben@cageclub.me if you like these recasting choices. If you don't, if you have another idea for a game, if you think this game is stupid, if you watch this movie for some reason, don't. Anything. ben@cageclub.me.
That reminds me of, like, Kevin Nealon did, like, Mr. Subliminal on SNL when he was, like, doing the news, and he would read a story, and then he'd throw in, like, a little subliminal, like, whatever you do, don't do this. And so it's like, so check this out. Don't watch this movie.
I am out of things to talk about for this movie. Do you have anything else you want to say before we close up shop on the first episode of the podcast?
No, not necessarily. I think I'm good.
So the next episode we're doing is The Voyage of the Mimi from 1984. It is a TV series that Mike watched in science class or health class? Science class. What class?
Science class.
Science class.
Yeah.
It's a TV series. We're just doing the first episode. There is a second Voyage of the Mimi, which we will do. That is coming up episode 5.
That's hilarious.
Two seasons.
That's funny because, I mean, how often does a show go away and come? I mean, nowadays it's a big thing where, like, Fuller House and all these kinds of things. But back then, Voyage of the Mimi to go away and then come back? I wonder what the story is with that. So
I don't know. It was 4 years later, too. So maybe they're just like, we need to get the gang back together and tell some more stories or whatever it's about. I don't know. We'll find out. That's also available on YouTube, too. So this is on YouTube. That's on YouTube. So if you want to follow along, a lot of this early stuff is available on YouTube. So it's pretty easy to find. So if you want to watch, you don't have to, obviously. But if you want to, it's out there for you. So for all things the podcast and all of our other shows, Mike and I have done Caged and Keanu and Shia. And we're in the midst of Cinemakers right now. We've got launching today also. We have Too Fast, Too Forever. We've got lots of shows for you to listen to. All at cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, and at cageclubpod on Twitter. You can find all of our shows, everything, all news. Now that it's December, now that we've announced all these new podcasts, we can finally post stories about all these different actors, all these different franchises. Super exciting time. If you like what we do, email us, ben@cageclub.me. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, whatever, whatever, whatever. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And we'll see you next time on the podcast.
At the dark end of the street, that's where